Did y'all miss this last week? Okay, go ahead, confess. How many of you loved your Disney trip? Yeah. Did you bring me a marshmallow Mickey ear? I don't have any on the front row. Showing the love, not so much. Some of you did tag me in lots of photos, just for you, Miss Joy. So I did get to partake in seeing the Mickey in the middle of the Mickey with the Halloween. You know, he's in the form of a pumpkin. I did get to see while I was at home. So, and how many of you enjoyed the beach? Ugh. Yeah, our children's pastor here at church, Andrea Cheatham, she always sends me pictures of her toes in the sand. And then I always send her a picture back of the ice hotel, because that is my heaven. Have y'all heard of the ice hotel? It is literally an ice hotel. So I send her back that. But I'm glad y'all enjoyed your sandy, sticky, salty, sweaty, sharky, sunny, stinky, spectacular. Okay, for some of you. But I'm glad we're back, because I missed. How many of you missed Moms with Swords last week? I missed it so bad. It's kind of weird. It's really kind of weird. But it was a nice little break. Next week, Lori Newton is going to be up here teaching, right, Sarah? Yes. Just let me teach. Don't let me keep any kind of details. But next week, Lori Newton, who is the Bethel Bible teacher, Lori will be here next week. So I'm excited to hear her word. She's going to be talking a lot about this concept of abiding in Christ, which we've talked on a little bit this opening session. So Lori will be here next week. But I am ready to teach this word. This is a good word, as I was teaching it to my dog yesterday, who slept through it, as he always does. I was getting so excited. I had my back door open. And I thought, well, sir, I have just hollered to my neighbors. They have probably heard me, because I get right. I picture y'all when I'm in my office teaching. I picture that y'all are there. So I got a little riled up. So I'm really excited about this message. So our key verse, if you know what our key verse is, Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. We're going to read it as we always do. I want this to go down deep into our bones. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. We've talked about that over the last weeks. Let your roots grow down into him. We talked about that the last 2 weeks ago about the trees. We talked about let your roots growing down into him. And let your lives be built on him, what we're going to talk about today. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will... I love those words. And you will, not you might, not only in certain circumstances, you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your lives be built on him. This built here in this part of the scripture, this built is a past tense of build. It's the past tense. And build in the dictionary, in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, build is a verb, and it means to make something by putting together parts or materials, to develop or form something gradually, to increase the amount of something. Now, that's the dictionary, the dictionary that is put together by human people. What I like to look at is the Greek, is the dictionary, the meaning of the words of the author of a word. It's one thing to say what a person says about the word, but it's another thing to hear from the author of the word and what the word says. So in the Greek, in its original language, this built is to properly build on, Listen. Following a plan with a pre-designed or predefined specifications, to build upon a foundation, to properly build on, to follow a plan with a pre-designed, predefined specification. Now our theme, keep that in your head, our theme this session is probably starting to stick in, engrafted in, rooted deep. My devotion this morning, what I love my utmost for his highest. I love that devotion. I know it's old, but it's just a good one. And it even was just talking about this concept of engrafting, this process that y'all, Jesus totally did for us. We couldn't do it ourselves, so Jesus did it for us. This concept of engrafted in, his blood has engrafted us in as we accept him, and rooted deep. And over these last 5 weeks, yes, we are halfway through. We only have 5 weeks, really 4 weeks left. We've been talking about us and our children being engrafted in and rooted deep in him. And as you remember before fall break, so many of you, again, sent me trees or put some on your Facebook pages about these trees, all the beautiful trees we talked about. And how many of you now just notice every tree when you're driving? You're like, oh, I see that tree. I know what that is. There's one tree on County Line Road, and it is the most beautiful. I think it's an oak tree. It's in somebody's yard, and I swear, when me and Sydney are coming home from softball practice, I'm going to pull over today, maybe today, and take a picture of this tree because it is the most beautiful oak tree. And since now we know what it means, it just means something more. So we talked about that, and we talked about these beautiful trees and their fruit and their leaves. They're only beautiful because of what's underneath. That's what makes them beautiful. See, that Bring Your Bible to School Day is a, guys, what I love so much is it's a product of what is going on inside, deep down in your kids. It's just an outward expression of something that's happening underneath. So these trees are only beautiful. They're only producing because of an amazing, healthy, thriving root system. What's underneath matters. What's underneath matters. As some of you know, we recently moved into a new home, and we had to study the foundation of you make sure this home you're buying is foundationally strong, right? You have to make sure. So we were walking around because, you know, we've moved from a really flat backyard, and this one has like more of a slopey backyard. So we had to make sure that was all okay, that the, you know, water wouldn't come and wash away the land and all that kind of stuff. So we were studying this foundation because we know it will be greatly affected. Our house will be greatly affected if something is wrong underneath. The foundation, if there's a crack in the foundation, it eventually will show up on the outward. And now I've done quite a bit of research on roots and trees this session. I've done quite a bit. You know, I always say I'm going to get a couple sessions. You know, I was researching snipers and guns. I was like, I'm going to get flagged by the FBI or something. Well, now I'm going to get flagged by the Horticultural Society or something, because I'm like constantly studying planting and rooting and trees and cypress and all this kind of stuff. And now I've moved into researching foundations. And in building a house, what do you think is the most important thing in building a house? The foundation. The foundation, it is the most important part of a home. Because again, if something is wrong underneath, it will eventually show on top. And this session, moms, in particular, I have felt such an urgency to teach. Y'all know, many of y'all know, I am a worship leader. That I was the singer. I was the worship leader. Traveled around leading worship, and God just kind of donkey kicked me into teaching. I'm like, what? I'm no seminary degree teacher. I didn't go to school for biblical theology. And God said, just like he said to Moses, I am will be with you. So I'm like, wow, Lord, okay, I'm gonna be a teacher now. And I do it with a lot of fear and trepidation, but this session, I have just had a fire in my belly ready to teach, because I believe there's a kingdom theme that is circling that we're able to be a part of right now in this session. And I think it's this concept of our foundations and our rooting. I believe more than ever, moms, More than ever, we have got to be working on the foundation of our children. We've got to be working on our foundations. You need only turn on the news. Again, they are forbidding religious articles to be brought in a county that is not too far from us, in a school. It's coming. It's pervading. Listen. I had a couple meetings this week, and I had one meeting in particular with a mom, with a lady, a fellow women's minister, who I respect. Let me tell you this, moms, and I'm not going to go into it too much. It's another teaching for another day. You better be researching. You better be searching the foundation of these people that you are reading their books. Because I'm telling you, it is pervading. And we mamas are an easy target because we are tired, we are weary, we want somebody to give us an excuse to not have to do something. And there are writers that you are reading that are doing that. And let me tell you something, research their foundation. I will not mention a name, but if you come to me, I might tell you. I'm doing my own research right now. We have got to research the foundation. Listen, if I have got accountability around me that if I say something that is contrary to the word of God, the foundation, they better shut my mouth, sew it up, and kick me off of this ministry team. Don't take what I say at face value. You better line everything up I say to the counsel of the word of God. And if the book you're reading does not line up with the counsel, the whole counsel of the word of God, not the parts that people like or the parts that people think are, that he doesn't really mean that. If it does not line up with the word of God, you better throw that book away. The foundation matters. And I'm telling you, moms, I cannot tell you with enough passion in my body, we are being targeted. We mamas are being targeted. Check the foundation of the books of the authors that you are reading. Check them. Now, more than ever, we've got to be concerned about the foundation. Listen to this research. I love Barna. I love George Barna Research Center. I did some research on mortality and truth. If you need any other reason why now more than ever, moms, we got to be working on the foundation, here's some more. In May of 2016, this year, they asked a couple questions to the millennial age. They asked them to a bunch of people, but I just pulled out the millennials. The millennials are those people between the ages of 18 and 34. The ages of some of your kids are going to be mixing with and doing, they're in the world with. One of the questions they asked this group of people, whatever is right for your life or whatever works best for you is the only truth you can know. 43% of this age group agree somewhat. 31% agree strongly. That leaves about 26% that disagree. 26. Jesus, let my daughters, let my son be in that disagrees. Because let me tell you something. Colossians 1. Here you go. This is where you got to start. For by him, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body. He is the boss, mamas. He is the boss. He gets the final say. You can't do certain things because your boss tells you no. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. You cannot just live your life however you want to live it. His word, he is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So whatever is right for your life or works best for you is the only truth you can know. If that truth doesn't line up with this truth, then it is false. Right here, in truth, your word is truth. Another question asked. The Bible provides us with moral truths which are the same for all people in all situations without exception. Among that same age group, 29% agree somewhat. And 27% agree strongly. That leaves 44% that disagree. No right, no wrong. And then Barna asked them this question. If they believed if moral truth is relative, you know, there's no right or no wrong. Do you have friends that kind of say that? Well, just do what makes you happy. Do what feels good. Mom, you have every reason. Go in your bed and eat bonbons every night. Go. Now, do that sometimes. I have my cereal and Hallmark channel. So I do that every now and I do that every night after everybody's gone to bed, after I've done my job. But I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, you just do what makes you happy. Do what makes you happy, Mom. Do what Jesus tells you to do, Mom. That's what I'm going to tell you to do. And sometimes Jesus will tell you to go eat a bonbon. But that's going to be after you've taken your gardening gloves off. That's going to be after you've taken those little knee pads off because you've been digging in hearts all day. Go get yourself a bonbon. But not before you've put your garden gloves on, you've tilled and you've worked. Moral truth is relative. 51% of these ages of 18 to 34, 51% agree that moral truth is relative. There's not really right or wrong. We got to go after the foundation. All things were made through him. All things were made for him. He is in all things. Now, more than ever, we've got to go after the foundation because it is slipping. It is pervading this moral relativism. It is pervading into our church. Y'all, I found a fellow worship leader. I knew her many years ago. She traveled with an amazing, famous Christian group that if I said their name, you'd be like, oh, I have every album. I mean, they just kind of diminished not too long ago. And this, oh my gosh, I love this girl's voice. She's just an amazing singer. I know her. She went to Women of Faith for a little bit after I did. And so, but y'all, I found her Facebook and her Instagram the other day. And if I told you the whole story, this again, it's another teaching for another day because the way God has weaved this, I just randomly came across her Facebook page and her Instagram page. And my heart sank. She is now a pastor at a church. And when I tell you on her page was her taking her children to a spiritual conference with all the different religions, and she said, this is spiritual enlightenment. I don't even know this girl really well, and I'm going to email her. I'm going to email. And God has totally weaved it together after a couple meetings this week that I have to email this girl. Y'all, she's a pastor at a church. She was a fellow worship leader. I know this lady. And yet her foundation, this moral relativism has slipped in and taken her up. And now she is on this spiritual enlightenment, this divine femininity path. Y'all, we got to get the foundation. We got to get to the foundation of us. We got to get to the foundation of our kids. Listen, Ephesians 5:15 through 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because because the days are evil. Does Jesus still love this girl? Absolutely. But guys, she has bought into the lie that is pervading into our churches. She's bought it. I don't want my kids to think moral truths are relative. So therefore, I gotta do something. I gotta do something. And that's what this scripture in Ephesians is talking about. Be careful as you, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Listen, making the most of your time. This time here in its Greek, in the original language, I love digging into, again, the author of this book, what he says the word means. The word means. And he says this word time is kairos. Kairos. Fitting season. Opportunity to take full advantage of. Mom, in your home, you have an opportunity every day. In your home, you need to take full advantage of. The Bible is telling us we've got to take full advantage of these years. We've got to ingrain this word in them like we've been talking about. We only get 18 years. And for some of us, it's almost gone. We have got to take advantage because the Bible says the days are evil. We have got to whet their appetite for the things of God. God, we've got to give them an appetite for the things of God. And it's got to be through the music we're playing in our vans. It's got to be through the videos we're playing in our homes. It's got to be through those devotions that you're putting in their hands. You got to whet their appetite. Man, when my Aunt Nancy makes a coconut cake, I want just a bite because I know how good it tastes. Man, when we whet our kids' appetite for Jesus, they're just going to want that because that's what they know. They know how good he is. They know how good he is. But listen, this generation of moms, where we are as a culture of mothers, we've got so many moms that are good landscapers. Anybody have people that come to your house? Cut your yard, mow it, edge it. Anybody? No, I know some of y'all do. Got those people. It's okay. We're in the 2016 generation. It's okay. We all of us do because we don't have time. We are pouring into our babies. Somebody else got to mow our grass. But we have those landscapers. They trim, they edge, they blow. They make what is seen to the people when they drive by. I just did my front porch. I got a new porch, and it's so pretty. It's got stone, and I got my pumpkins, and I got my mums in their pumpkin-like tins. And so when people drive by, they look, and they go, oh, that's so pretty. And then the landscape people come and they edge and it looks so pretty. Because what they're doing is they're maintaining what's on the outside. So it looks good to everybody, right? It looks good to everybody. And that's what we've got mamas that are doing to their children. You see, they trim. Oh, when that bad attitude arises. Oh, give me your phone. Just talk back to me. Let me just trim a little bit. But only when that bad attitude arises. And then they edge. They edge. They don't want anybody to know. So they go take care of what that teacher, that grade that teacher gave their kid, that their kid, they couldn't have deserved that C, even though the kid didn't do the homework. But that mama's going to take care of my edge because I want everybody to, I don't want them to know that she actually didn't make that grade. So it needs to look good. I need to make sure that's good. They make sure that their kids appear to have it all together, like we're all together. She's the star student. She's so smart. Ladies, behavior is because of what's underneath. That smart mouth, that bad attitude, that hitting their brother or sister, that comes from something inside. You can't see it on the outside, but we landscape it. We landscape it to make sure nobody sees that. But we don't go after what the issue really is. And it's a foundation issue. Behavior is a foundation issue. We got to get to the root. We got to get to the root. But we put a bow on it. We put a monogram on it. I do it. If it's not, I mean, somebody was telling me I need to monogram my shoes. I'm like, are you serious? I can do that. So if somebody does that, tell me, I'll give you my shoes and I'll monogram them. What lies beneath matters. Man, I don't want anybody to say that about my kids. It makes me sick at my stomach for people to just praise what they see my kids do or how my kids look. Man, I want you to say, God, your Joy, she has a heart for God. Joy, he was so kind to that little friend today. Not, he looks so handsome in his Under Armour stuff, and he does. Especially with his little football pads on, I just want to squeeze those little cheeks. Oh. But if I'm not working on his foundation, all that doesn't matter. How many of you know, especially you women with daughters, how many of you know some really beautiful girls? But man, they just have underneath is just ugly. It's just an ugly, just their character. We have to get at their what's lying beneath you. We are an army of mamas. And can we just commit today to not merely be landscapers of our kids, but to be architects of our children? Can we move from being the landscaper to the architect? Do you know what an architect does? Is anybody's husband an architect? Oh, shoot, you're going to check my research. Oh, well, you're going to really check my research, so tell me after. An architect, by definition, is someone who designs, listen, mama, who designs and guides a plan. A person who designs buildings and advises in their constructions. See, a landscaper merely maintains what's on the outside, but a landscape architecture make sure and oversees and designs and guides this plan that has already been set in place in the form of your children. Colossians 2, again, verse 7, let your lives be built on him. Built on him. Remember, built is the past tense of build. So this verse is assuming you've taken action, that you are building, that you are doing something. I did a little bit of research, dug a little bit deeper on architects, and I wanted to know what an architect must have, what they must have in their day-to-day life. And it was said across the board that the number one thing an architect goes to is their architectural reference manuals. It's a place where they go and they reference all the codes and all the requirements. Mamas, listen. The ultimate architect and the ultimate designer of our children, the one who did this, look at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Look at this verse. Oh, yes. Listen, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking, body and soul. I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. like an open book. You watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life, listen, all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Y'all, that is the plan. That perfectly mastered plan is at your feet every day. And that plan deserves more than you just working on that outside cup. That plan requires you to be the architects, to oversee this divine plan, this divine project. He has given us the only reference manual we will ever need. Listen, I am going to tell you, you better read godly books. Check the foundation of the author, but read you some godly books. I love that quote that says, feed on a lot of good books, but live in the Bible. So I'm going to tell you, look, there's a lot of people that know a lot more stuff than I do that God has given revelation to. You better read them. You better read them. And moms, there's so many good books for us to read. That's why we have that resource. And I don't ever want to get rid of that resource table. Because books have been, I have fed on good books through my whole parenting journey. Man, I'm reading one now called The Age of Opportunity about teenagers. Y'all better read. Y'all bet if y'all have a teenager, you better run. The Age of Opportunity. The most, again, God put it in my lap. It's a foundationally sound book. Read you some good old books, but you better live in the Word. It is the only book you need, really. It is the only book you need. And we've got to continually go back to that reference manual, continually, day after day. Listen to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. Do we have it? I gave my Bible to Sophie, who forgot her Bible to bring to school. There you go, Confession 101. So somebody give me your Bible. I got to read this book, this verse. We got to continually go back to this word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Mom, listen, all scripture is God-breathed, not the parts you like. You cannot leave out parts you don't like because they step on your toes. All scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for you to train up, to go after your kids. It is here. It is the plan. Not landscape, but architect our kids, rooting them deep into the Word, rooting them into their foundation, as we talked about, which is Christ. This is what you got to go back to constantly. We must be the architects of our kids. There is something in the architecture world called a production architect. And this production architect works usually at a large firm. And he works solely, his main job is to work on building plans and blueprints. Production architects spend their days, listen, correcting and changing building plans. And this particular part of an architect, this production architect, it involves, this job involves hours upon hours of doing the same thing. Does that sound familiar? It's Groundhog Day in your home every day, right? I mean, y'all know. Do everything without complaining. John William now has a complaining journal. It is the Georgia Bulldogs, because he is a Georgia dog fan through and through. But it is, because he loves it, it hurts a little worse that he has to write out all his sentences, because that's what I do for him now. You're going to fill out pages of sentences. And what the pages that are already almost halfway full, the notebook is, I will do everything without complaining and arguing in Jesus' name. Every day, that's my struggle with him, y'all. every day. Hours and hours. Some of you are, I will not hit my sister anymore. So, whatever it is, but there's something that you deal with in your home every day. We do it every day. We repeat the same things over and over. We continually go back to this. We continually look at our plan, our beautifully designed plan. Look, each one of your children are different, ladies. I promise you, that is the one thing I have learned. I thought when I was a new mom, I thought all three of my kids, we're going to do it this way for all of them. They're all going to go to this kind of a school, and this is going to be how it's going to be. Let me tell you, young mamas, it is not cookie cutter. They are an arrow. They are an arrow fashioned for one mark. And your middle child's mark is not the same as your last born. Your firstborn's mark is not the same as your last child. Every one of my kids has a different plan, a different design. The architect of their lives has sculpted them differently. As I saw my middle child today do what my firstborn did last year and pray in front, in the middle of all these middle school students, it was such a different thing because they're different kids. Your kids are different. There's going to be a different design. I got to go back to this book. And the scriptures I look at for my firstborn are a lot not the same scriptures I look for my middle child. They're all different. I've got to keep referencing. But moms, do not grow weary in well-doing. Go back to the blueprint. Go back and tend that foundation. One day, moms, one day. And even today, I believe we're going to be seeing fruit. Some of you are just hanging on by a thread, and you come to me and you tell me, you go to our prayer team and you tell them, I'm at my wit's end. I'm here today to tell you, do not grow weary in well-doing. At the proper time, you're going to reap a harvest. Don't give up. It's so much easier to be a landscaper. It's so much easier to worry about the outside. Y'all, I love it when I have, Sophie Kate, give you an example. She had a little birthday party. I had like three friends spend the night. I love it because I'm a Black Hawk. And you know what the Black Hawk helicopters do? They fly low. So I am listening in on conversations because these are the kids that my kids are around. So I'm Black Hawking, I'm listening. I love to be in their business. So I love having kids over because I can see how I need to steer them, there was one friend that Sophie Kate just, this is my best friend. And after being with her for a night and a morning, I was like, oh. But y'all, the next morning, Sophie Kate revealed to me, she's like, yeah, Mom, I don't know. Constantly checking that foundation. It's going to be worth it. So that morning I saw fruit because I didn't have to tell Sophie Kate about the little red flags that I saw. God, the Holy Spirit, had already warned her. Guys, the fruit is coming. I'm speaking to somebody. The fruit is coming. It's coming. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep building. Keep tending. Keep working. Listen to Luke chapter 6, verse 47 and 48. I'm going to read it from the Message. Listen. It's going to knock your socks off. It probably won't be as good as the root balls, the coconut. That's going to be the, I mean, is that still like on your, did you save that photo? I mean, the root balls of the coconut tree. I mean, that picture's amazing. My kid, they came up on my photos as my kids were looking through my photos. They're like, what in the world is that? So then I had to explain it to them. It's just the root balls. It's so cool. It's you. It's going to be Sydney. It's Sophie Kate. It's John William. Why are you so polite with me always saying, yes, sir. And that's right, sir. But never doing a thing I tell you. These words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life. Homeowner improvements to your standard of living, they are foundation words. Words to build a life on. If you work the words into your life, Mom, if you work these words into your parenting, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies at Moms with Swords and you don't work them into your life, into your parenting, you're like a dumb carpenter. Thank you for the word that says dumb. I did not call you dumb. The word is calling us dumb if we do this. You're like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Total loss. And just leave this verse up for a little bit. Skipping the foundation. Y'all, I was at a college this weekend with our family, went to a university, and it's actually the university that our oldest daughter now is going to go to college at. And I walked around this campus, and most moms would be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I was broken. I was so heartsick at what I was seeing. In the form of college students. Now listen, I'm going to be honest, and I got to be careful that I'm not too honest, because I tend to be too honest, and I got to remember that a lot of people are listening. So let me make sure I can say this and not be too exposing, because I don't care. I like to expose it. I definitely had a crazy high school, you know, college. I definitely did my things in that I shouldn't have done. But alcohol was never a thing for me. It just never was. And it isn't to this day. My husband and I don't drink, and our family is just a standard that the Lord has set in our heart. It's just a conviction of ours. I'm not saying it's wrong. Please know that is for the Holy Spirit to tell you, not me. But the Holy Spirit has told us we don't drink. So I'm not around alcohol, especially the amount of alcohol that I saw being consumed by these children. And then on top of that, see, the Lord did it so perfect, because Sydney and Todd and John William were on the 4-yard line, you know, right there watching the football game. My Sophie Kate was in a box with dear friends of ours, and I was by myself at a ticket somewhere in the middle of a huge stadium. But I never really made it hardly to my chair, because I was so grieved in my spirit by just walking around the deck. I did find a phone charging station, and that's where I camped out. But the language of these college kids, I have to just go ahead and tell you, I had to confess it to my children. So we're in me by myself in this line of people to get in the gate, because everybody else was already in sitting at their seats drinking their Cokes. And Mama's out here, a sardine. The college kid comes up beside me with his girlfriend, and I mean, language just flying. And for those of you who know me are totally chuckling under your breath, because I'm sitting there, and he's got his cup of something that's about to knock me over, the smell of it. And I look at him, and I say, listen, you know I did, don't you, Andrea? You know I did. I did. I said, listen, my daughter's fixing to come to school. Well, in 4 years, my daughter's going to come to school here. Hopefully you're gone. I didn't say that. I said, look, my daughter's coming to school here. At this point, she committed during halftime. So she hadn't committed yet. So this was still a maybe, because I was fixing to say, you're not going here. I said, my daughter is potentially coming to this school. And let me tell you something. I'm a parent, and you are not setting a good example for this school. Oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'm a biological engineer. I said, I'm glad you're smart, but let's talk about your heart. I did. And I wanted to look at his girlfriend and say, are you sure? Are you sure? And then I had to call out a fight that was erupting in front of me. Yes, this happened with me. I mean, y'all, of all people for this to happen in front of. Then there's a guy throwing up in his polo shirt and his little khaki shorts, the cutest guy. And I'm like, what? And of course, I was like, oh, he's sick. And then I was like, oh, then I'm mad. Then I'm like, where is his mom? So see, I'm exposing myself, please. It's just something I'm not accustomed to. And I kept going, God, She can't come to this school. She can't, Lord, she cannot be. Oh my gosh, Lord, are you sure? And I kept hearing him say, I need her here. I need her here. I need her here. So I'm going to trust the what ifs. Because that's where my head went. What if this is her? What if she's not around it? She doesn't see it. But what if she's so excited by it and she just partakes? What if, God, what if? And he says, you've got to trust the foundation that even in the what ifs, I'm going to take care of her because I need her here. I'm not going to be a dumb carpenter, y'all. I've got 4 more years before she is let loose in this environment. I got 4 more years. God, I don't want to be a dumb carpenter. I want to not skip her foundation. This is our goal, Mom. This is your goal. Do you see how important your goal is? Because listen, there are going to be rivers that come. There's going to be temptation that comes. It's going to come. But I am believing that my children's foundation is solid enough that they will not collapse. And I am even more boldly believing that my children will look at that at a party in the face of being offered and say, no, thank you. That's where my faith is. I'm trusting in the what ifs, but my faith is there that the foundation is not going to be skipped. A child who is not thrown and tossed around. If we work on the foundation, listen. The word building in a house in the Greek here, that go back, yes, building a house, that from the beginning of that verse in Luke, it's I erect a building, building up of character. I build up, edify, encourage, literally, listen. Build someone up, helping them stand, be strong, sturdy. This is our goal, Mom. That our children, because of what we are doing, are going to stand and they will be strong and sturdy. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for the world around us. The world around us, God, that shows us, God, that creates this passion, God, to direct our children's hearts towards you so that they can be sturdy. God, we will not fear. Lord, I confess, I will not fear because I struggled with fear this past weekend. I'm fearful of what could happen to my children when they're exposed to certain things. God, all of us in this room have fears, God. We may be holding a newborn, God, and we're scared of the country that they're growing up in. God, we release our fears to you today. And we tell you, Jesus, that we trust you even in the what ifs. But God, we tell you today that we will not back down. We will tend. We will be the architect. We will be the designer of this pre-designed, pre-specified plans that are in the form of our children. God, we will not back down. Today, we will put off, we will take off our landscaping tools, God, and we will put on the tool of an architect, which is our reference manual, which is the sword, the word of God, and we will tend to the foundation of our children. God, we are moms that are saved. That we will do that. You, God, will build this foundation in them. You, God, through us, will build this strong and sturdy foundation. God, we trust you. Lord, we gotta say we trust you. You are the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, we build our children. All other foundations will surely crash. So today, God, we say, we trust you. We trust you. Now, moms, I want you to stand, and I want our prayer team to go back. I believe there's some of you in this room that are struggling with fear. There is, I feel the Lord saying, there's some of you that your kids, maybe one of your kids are involved in a friend group that you are just, you are worried about. This friend group taking your child down a place that they don't need to go. I believe some of you are wrestling with school decisions. Yes, thank you, Lord. Some of you are struggling about the school, whether to send your kid here or take your kid out. Some of you, I believe God's, you're wrestling with that. The Spirit of the living God is telling you to trust Him, to press into Him, and just to ask Him. That is, yes, God's just saying, would you just ask me? Somebody just needs to ask Him, God, what do I need to do? He's ready to show you. If you need prayer today, I want you to go back. If you are standing in fear, if your hold on your kids is so tight because you're so scared of what they're around or what could happen to them, could I challenge you to go and ask with one of our prayer people, would you just go and ask them to help you release that child to Him? You gotta release them. They are not yours. Your Heavenly Father loves them more than you love them. You've got to release them. Some of you have such a tight grip on your babies, they can't breathe. God is telling somebody, I don't know who it is, you got to open them up. You got to open your hands. They are not yours. They are His first. Trust Him with them. Trust Him with them. He loves them more than you love them, Mom. He sees them when you don't have your eye on them. He is Elohim. He is the God that sees. He sees your children. You do not have to fear. If you need prayer, I want you to go. And you pray. Don't let this time go away. God, we seal this time. God, you know the women. You know the moms that need it, God. Would you stir them? Would you move their feet now, God? Holy Spirit of the living God, would you just have a fire burning? If there's a fire burning in your belly, you know it's you. You got to go. You better go. Obey. Oh, the weight that He's ready to lift off of you, Mom. He is your burden carrier. You were not meant to bear it. Release it. In Jesus' name, amen.